These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In mid-April, UK lawmakers backed a plan to create, by 2040, a smoke-free generation of people. The proposal aims to see a whole generation who will never be able to legally buy tobacco. But what does that mean for vapes? Will they be buying those? And what would a new anti-smoking strategy like this entail? Well, I'm joined now by a medical oncologist, former Senator Professor John Crown. John, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we've had an anti-smoking strategy for quite a while and, you know, not allowing smoking in bars and hospitality and so on. It was resisted at the beginning, turned out to be a rip-roaring success. So that's our strategy.
Yeah, yes. Hats off to Micheál Martin. I mean, I think it was a great strategy, and I think it's generally accepted. And people now love the fact that they can go into bars, restaurants, public places, you know, the lobbies of hotels, and not be assaulted with, you know, dangerous tobacco smoke wherever they go. So it was a great move. We have really mainly focused in our tobacco control strategy, and quite successfully, at controlling the behaviours. You can't smoke here, you can't smoke there, you can't buy cigarettes at this age, etc. I'm all in favour of that.
That's all good.
That's all good, nothing bad. But taking it the next step, I had the idea when I was in the Shannon, and I kind of floated. I didn't get a chance to introduce one of our, you know, usually forlorn, defeated, backbench independent bills. Although, having said that, I did get one bill passed, which prevented smoking in cars if there's a child present. That's rather unusual for a backbench senator, and I'm grateful to Minister Riley for taking it at the time. But it struck me that what we should be doing is looking at the production of tobacco and tobacco products. There's a chemical called methylene chloride, which has been sequentially banned in many Western jurisdictions because it can cause cancer. Now, people don't drink, eat, or smoke methylene chloride. It's in paint stripper. Okay.
Yeah.
But because somebody who's working with paint stripper might be exposed to the volatile fumes of this, and it may somewhat increase the risk of cancer, it has been correctly deemed to be carcinogenic, cancer-causing, dangerous, and banned. But here we have a product which is entirely legal to make, grow, manufacture, distribute, and sell, which, if used exactly as directed, causes cancer, causes circulatory disease, and a number of other diseases, and a very meaningful number of people.
So you're saying, why do we sell this stuff, which is carcinogenic, when other stuff, which very few people come in contact with, is outlawed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that if tobacco was discovered now, it would never be legal. And it's been great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathered into existence because at the time it was, you know, first, you know, consumed, probably first in the Americas and subsequently in Europe, people didn't realize its health consequences. So my sense really is that while I hear the civil liberties arguments that individual smokers make, but I should be allowed to do this in the privacy of my own home. I very much regret that they make that decision, and I'm very much of the opinion that decision, as an ex-smoker myself, I'm very much of the opinion that that decision is heavily informed by addiction. But however, I can't think of any basic constitutional, legal, human rights of man principle by which you should be allowed to profit from the sale of something which addicts people and causes cancer. And I think we should be aiming to make it illegal to manufacture, sell, and distribute tobacco products. This is not something which can be done overnight. In a world which is increasingly short of food, wouldn't all those fields that are being used for growing tobacco be put to bed?
Don't we still have subsidies from the European Union in the common agricultural policy to farmers in Europe to grow tobacco?
Well, if we do, we should stop them. I mean, there's exactly nothing we should be... This is a very powerful lobby. I mean, the lobbies which are in favour of maintaining the status quo, from the manufacturers to the growers to the distributors, it's huge. But we just have to grasp the nettle, acknowledge this stuff for what it is, and acknowledge that a strategy, a two-pronged strategy, you know, continuing the you know, increasing gentle pressure on behavioral change, disincentives, higher taxes, has to be matched with an attempt to actually hit the
now,
people.
Now, we know that the revenue loses a lot of money because people buy smuggled cigarettes on which no tax is paid. And they have a concern about that, but they do have a huge amount of money coming in from the purchase of tobacco products. But equally, they're telling everyone that they should be buying an electric vehicle, which means they won't be buying petrol and diesel at the pump, which means they're going to have to forsake that kind of excise and VAT revenue as well. So they'll all be looking at this. If we do all of this stuff, we'll have no money. We'll have to jack up the income tax rate enormously.
We'll spend less money on healthcare.
There's a good answer.
Yeah. No, next question.
the problem is, I suppose, that the savings on healthcare, like the smoker at 20, won't be needing the healthcare until their minimum kind of 45, 50. So you get a delayed benefit, if you like, whereas you lose the revenue now.
Well, you know, what can I say? Like, why not put VAT on bank robbers and, you know, all kinds of other, there are a lot of things that are bad for people and bad for society. I mean, you know, We don't use them as revenue streams. We try to ban them. And I think if, you know, give the industry 10 or 15 years, set a date in the future, it'll have to be done multinationally and just say you won't be able to do it after that stage. Give the investment houses a chance to reinvest in some other, their pension fund and some other money. Get the factories a chance to retool. By the way, this stuff is bad for land. Agricultural land, tobacco is growing on it. You can't just grow food on it the next day. It has to be detoxed. So it'll take a few years to do that and probably heavy subsidization of farmers.
We saw in the international fossil fuels industry that companies like BP were kind of going green in the sense they were looking at investment in alternative energy supply systems. I don't know what big tobacco would do. What else could they be growing? Maybe food, as you suggest, is just as good as anything else.
Forgive me for getting a little more cynical as I get older. I mean, I'm a big believer in the belief that, you know, anything, and you know, listen, I get both sides of the argument about, you know, our need, that we do at the moment need fossil fuels. Hopefully we can get off them. But, you know, anything that fossil fuel industries basically do is to meet their bottom line. It's not because of a deep internal concern for the environment. And, you know, so I believe the tobacco companies, they're already diversifying into vaping, but they're not doing it because they're altruists. They're doing it because they want to create a new generation of addicts. That's the reason why they're doing it.
Now, you are ambivalent about vaping. I know we talked before that it is a useful tool for those trying to give up the fags. But then, on the other hand, teenagers who've never smoked are vaping in huge numbers.
I think it should be exclusively used as a smoking cessation device. I think it should be regulated. I don't think it should be routinely for sale willy-nilly in retail outlets. I think there should be some degree of professional supervision of the sale of vaping products, either maybe not going as far as being on prescription, but certainly with pharmacists' input into it. I just do not think we should be doing anything to it, because a lot of these kids that are vaping now are becoming nicotine addicts and they will start smoking. And remember, the business model of the tobacco industry is addict children to carcinogens, because they lose most of their, well, a lot of their customers from premature death, so they need to get new ones all the time. And the best way to do it is to get kids involved. And the great majority of smokers start under the age of 18.
John Crown, Professor John Crown, medical oncologist, former senator. John, thank you very much for joining us here in the Shelburne.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.